In the name of God, who creates us, redeems us, and inspires us. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to the story of Bill. He was in his early 20s and had become a Christian while in college. Across the street from the college was a church, very conservative with a well-dressed congregation. The church had wanted to start a college ministry, but was unsure how to do it. Well, one Sunday, Bill just decided to go to church. He had crazy, unkempt hair. He wore a t-shirt with holes in it, blue jeans, and no shoes, and walked in just after the service had started and right before the sermon. He was looking around for a seat, but the church was full and he couldn't find one. Some people began to look a bit uncomfortable and no one tried to help. Bill got closer and closer to the pulpit at the front, and when he realized there were no seats, he just sat right down on the floor. By now, people were really uptight and there was a tension in the air that you could feel. Just then the minister realized that from way back in the church, a deacon was slowly making his way down the aisle toward Bill. The deacon was in his 80s with silver hair and a well-tailored three-piece suit. He was a godly man, dignified and elegant, and he walked with a cane. As he walked toward Bill, all the people just knew what would happen and realized that they really couldn't blame the deacon for what he was about to do. After all, there was a huge difference in the world of the deacon and the world of the young college student. The church was silent except for the clicking of the man's cane, and all eyes were focused on him as he made his way toward Bill. The minister couldn't even begin to preach a sermon until the deacon did what he had to do. Then the elderly man dropped his cane on the floor and with great difficulty lowered himself down and sat right next to Bill. He didn't want Bill to have to worship alone. You can just imagine the gasps of surprise and emotion in the church. And when the minister regained control, he said, "What I was about to preach, you will never remember. What you have just seen, you will never forget. Be careful how you live. You may be the only Jesus that some people will meet, or the only Bible they will ever encounter." And Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Today's story from Mark is the center of his gospel, and it's the second time that Jesus has predicted his journey to Jerusalem, the cross, and the empty tomb. And again, his disciples were afraid to ask him about it and were silent. After all, their idea of a Messiah was more lofty and uplifted than the reality of what Jesus was describing would actually happen to him. And then on the road, the disciples argued about who was the greatest among them. Now, why would they do that? Perhaps when Jesus was gone, one of them could take over as leader? Or were they just afraid? So Jesus asked them what they were arguing about, and again, they were silent. Embarrassed or sheepish, perhaps, because they just might have had an inkling that Jesus already knew what they'd been talking about. So he tells them that the first must be last and servant of all. But to be sure that they get the point, Jesus takes a little child in his arms and says, "See this precious child? Well, whoever welcomes this child in my name also welcomes me and also the one who sent me." In other words, no one is excluded from God's love, and all of us are called to love and serve others in the same way that Jesus would. This is so important for the disciples and also for us to try to understand that Jesus uses a child, one who at the time had so little status. For Jesus to use a child as an example, well, this was shocking to the disciples, as children were part of the lowest order on the social ladder at the time, and the very opposite of worldly greatness. This is not so much a story about how we should welcome children, although we do need to welcome children as always, but it is a story about Jesus and how God's kingdom and its values are different from the culture's. One writer suggests that Jesus' treatment of children shows his struggle and resistance to the purposes of the empire, and also that the way that children draw all of Jesus' followers into resisting the imperial powers of our time, struggling against all that opposes the kingdom of God. After all, we are the family of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. So once again, Jesus is teaching us about God's upside-down hospitality and the radical ways that we're called to follow Jesus as our Messiah. It goes against much of what we experience living in our culture. We're taught that bigger's better, that to be number one in your class or company is the goal, that we should do whatever it takes to be successful. The values and measures we use are surely not the first shall be last or the last shall be first, or that if we want to be first, we have to be the servant of all. I think it's hard to grasp the reality of this because getting ahead is so ingrained in us. Would any of us fall silent before Jesus if he questioned us on talking about who is the greatest? We humans have a hard time understanding God's ways, which are not our ways. So Jesus tries to help us with that. The thing is, we are to love God and love our neighbor. We are to love and serve others, and we are to help with the healing of the world. And we are not to ask anything in return as we welcome all with open arms. We are to treat all others as God does, as equally loved. Now, we think of successful people, our terms, as being on top, and unsuccessful people, again, our terms, as being on the bottom. But Jesus gives us a different picture, and I think this is helpful to us. Jesus chose the unique image of what one writer suggested is the image of arounders. Think of Jesus in the middle of all of us, and we position ourselves in a huge circle around Jesus. There are no top and bottom positions to fight for, and there is room for all of us in Jesus' circle of arounders. I love the story of Benjamin Franklin, one of our early statesmen. He made a list of character qualities he wanted to develop in his own life. When he mastered one virtue, he would go on to the next. He said he did pretty well until he got to humility. Every time he thought he was making significant progress, he would be so pleased with himself that he became proud. It is hard to be an arounder with Jesus. After all, Jesus was born in a plain, small stable with straw and animals around him. Jesus was called to leave the security of home and family. Jesus lived mostly in homeless humility. Jesus spoke of endless forgiveness of the wrongdoing of others, of praying for our enemies even, and of showing mercy always. Jesus fed many who were simply hungry and ate with those the culture said not to. Jesus touched those in need of healing when others wouldn't go near. Jesus endured the cross and the grave to show us what love looks like when it pours itself out for all of us. Jesus preaches about the kingdom of God being grounded in service and sacrifice, not in power and wealth. So the invitation to us is to remain firmly in Jesus' circle of arounders. But following Jesus as his disciples is not an easy task. We hear so many other voices and things try to drag us out of the circle away from Jesus. We can try to remember to our baptismal vows that we are to seek and serve Christ in all persons and love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think Jesus invites us to welcome the least among us as bearers of God to us and to all we encounter. I had a Chinese meal recently that included a fortune cookie. I opened it up, and here is what it said. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. Was that random or a good word from the Holy Spirit? It really doesn't matter, but it made me reflect on how the priorities are different in God's kingdom and for those who hang around with Jesus. This week, on Wednesday, some of us had the opportunity to attend the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministries breakfast and to hear the stories of the ministries that serve some of the least of us. And then the same day, at the end of the day, some of us heard the story of Captain Mark Kelly and his wife, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, and how they, and especially Gabby, in her recovery from traumatic brain injury, still work to make the world a better place. And they invited us to do the same. And we at St. Paul's do find many ways to serve others, feeding and visiting and building, tutoring, praying, mentoring, and more. And these are all great ways to welcome the least of us in our community. But I also think that the image of the arounders in Jesus's circle invites us to understand that our faith and priorities are always a two-way street. It's in giving that we receive. Being last can mean being first. In serving, we are served, and in losing our life, we can find it. Draw near to God, James, the writer of the epistle, says, and God will draw near to you. So that's the good news, that Jesus is always in this circle with us. He beckons us closer to him and to each other. He invites us to look at our lives from the perspective of love, as he looks at us in the same way. He knows how we race to get ahead and fall silent at times. He knows how we misunderstand, just like the disciples who tried to shoo children away from him, and just like the congregation who watched the deacon walk toward the college student. But Jesus surrounds us. Jesus encircles us with grace and with love, and we find forgiveness and mercy as we watch him lift up the lowly and broken, which include all of us. He gives the courage to us to continue to prioritize our values in order to try to align them with the kingdom of God and to be his disciples. The courage to find a little one, to hold out our arms, and to see Jesus in their face. Amen.